know, I love me a little Hall & Oates to start out any hour. Very good. 4 o'clock hour. We'll start with the stock market report that's sponsored by Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, home of the $21,000 discount. Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram.com. Mixed day on Wall Street. Dow Jones was down 344 points, which isn't as much as it used to be. It's less than 1%, but the Dow is so high. You know, it used to be like a 300 plus point loss was like so earth shattering. It's just not anymore. S&P 500 down 10 points and the NASDAQ up 50 points. Reminder, listen to WQAM tomorrow. You know, the Heat have opening night Wednesday. Tomorrow, we give away a pair of Heat tickets for opening night every other hour. So Heat opening night at the, is it the Kaseya Center? I wasn't even certain for a second. At the Kaseya Center against Orlando is Wednesday night. And of course, you'll be able to hear the game right here on 560 QAM. But if you want to go, make sure you're listening to this radio station tomorrow. We will give away a pair of tickets every other hour. One other note, our Dave & Buster's gift card giveaway is back. We've got a $250 gift card that could win you... Dave and Buster's in Hollywood, watch some football or basketball or hockey and enjoy $250 to spend on food and drinks and games in the Midway. So if you want to win that, go to WQAM.com, click on contests, and you can enter right there. Dave and Buster's in Hollywood, one of our great partners on this very radio program. All right, let's start the 4 o'clock hour. There's a lot to get to. Let's start the 4 o'clock hour with headlines. And Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
Just seeing this right now, Hawk, and there is some Tua news in case anybody's just getting into their car. I'll get to it in a second. But some of the Dolphins reporters, I'm just reading Barry Jackson right now, Cam Smith is coming off IR, and this was actually the last week he was eligible to get taken off IR. If not, he would have missed the rest of the season. And Braxton Berrios, we know he was taken off the field with a brutal, what looked like a knee injury. He goes on the injured reserve list, so he'll miss at least 4 weeks.
Yeah, they were guessing that was going to be serious. It did look serious.
Yeah, no bueno. So... here's the update on Tua Tagovailoa. He is coming off the IR, and the plan is, from what I understand, Hawk, that he's going to play this upcoming Sunday when the Dolphins play the Arizona Cardinals.
Mike McDaniel said he will practice Wednesday. That's the plan, but he still has steps to take to get through the concussion protocol officially. But the plan is for him to practice Wednesday and be ready for the game on Sunday.
I like it.
I think he has to be cleared by two doctors to finally kind of clear the actual concussion protocol. So two separate doctors.
But as he said in his press conference today, he didn't even have any post-concussion symptoms from the day after. So I can't imagine he's not going to be cleared.
They're going to ask him questions about how he feels. And to your point, he's been telling them the same answers for a month.
Right. This is just formalities at this point.
Yeah, because are you sleeping okay? Do you have any headaches, any sensitivity to light? And he says, say no. But he said, like, to his point, he said in prison, I've been telling him I don't have any sensitivity to light or headaches for a month.
I mean, let's not forget, we found out from Raheem Mostert, I think it was Mostert, that the day after the hit against the Bills, remember, that was a Thursday night game, that Friday night, they were at Disney on Ice with their families.
Which is the sign of a head injury. Because I don't know if you've ever been to one of those things. They're awful.
Oh, they're pretty fun.
They're awful. Granted, I didn't have a little girl. I would imagine if you go there with your daughter and it's all cute. I think we went to one of these Disney on Ice things once with DJ. He and I were staring at each other like, what the bleep is going on here? And Lori was having the time of her life.
Come on, you're telling me that Cinderella comes out right after Ariel? What comes out right after the
no one even knows who they are. I wouldn't be. No one knows what's going on there.
You got Ariel, Jasmine, and Cinderella Cock.
Are we talking about Jimmy's OnlyFans again, or are we talking about Disney on Ice?
It's crazy to be a guy to put a damper on this tour return. We weren't rolling in the Jacksonville game.
I know. There's some trepidation. Listen, they would have beaten Indianapolis with Tua. I am 100% convinced of that.
Yes.
Arizona, I don't know. I mean, we'll watch tonight. They've had some good games. They've had some bad games.
Yeah.
So I know is I am betting Tyreek Hill overs. Whatever they are, he cannot have another game like that. There's no player props up yet for the Dolphins game. Dolphins right now are 3.5-point favorites over the Cardinals. Over-under on the game is 48.
You know what? A team averaging 11 points a game, I can't just say overs, but.
It's just like it is such a crazy season.
The over would come by the Cardinals. I mean, the Dolphins defense has been good, but if that's going to hit over, it's because the Cardinals, I would think, are putting up points on this Dolphins team.
I mean, Tua, healthy, rested. Mike McDaniel is an offensive genius.
Oh, okay.
He's seen what works, what doesn't work. I feel like it's a recipe for a lot of points.
But the OG's point, too, with it. I give OG credit. He said this a couple years ago. He was like, Mike doesn't have the back, you know, the back of that playbook. You know, if you see, I always bring it up because I just say this man's a damn genius. Everybody knows it. You see how big Andy Reid's damn play sheet is? And it's literally like, hey, I'm going to run these. Oh, they got us on this. Let me go to the green side. Let me go to the blue section.
But he's a Hall of Fame coach with a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Hall of Fame tight end. And like that, like you can't compare. I compare them to a team that they should be compared to. Instead of that team. That's one of the best teams we've ever seen in the history of the NFL.
Okay. A very good comparison. Minnesota, Kevin O'Connell.
Perfect.
He's right there. He's right in this little realm of these new age coaches. Don't yell and don't cuss and all. He has a quarterback that's not as good as Tua. He has a top five receiver. We have two top 10 receivers. He has one top five receiver, and they have a very good defense. I think we have a very good defense. Why can they continue to put up points on everybody and we have 11 a game?
He had no problem last season.
But it's this season. Like, it wasn't.
He hasn't. Tua hasn't been there. Like, let's wait and see Sunday at least.
And that's what we need. If Tua comes out and they throw up 20 plus 30, not 20 plus 30, high 20s, low 30s, then okay, it was Tua's injury. But like, yeah. I go back to the Jacksonville game or Buffalo before he was hurt. We weren't a well-running train then either.
But that doesn't absolve, even if they put up 35 points on Sunday against Arizona and win, that does not absolve Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel for going into this season with putrid backups.
Yeah.
Putrid.
Yep.
Doesn't absolve them of that.
Not at all. Does it look so bad what the Atlanta Falcons did, having Kirk Cousins and drafting Michael Penix?
I guess not.
Again, all you need to do is look at the Washington game yesterday. Marcus Mariota is one of the kinds of quarterbacks who's available in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the kind of guy who can come in, throw two tutties, put up 200 yards of offense. And you know, is he as good as Jaden Daniels? No. But is he the drop-off to Tim Boyle?
No. And we're not talking about Hall of Famers. I bring up Tannehill. You bring up the Pastronaut. We're talking about Wentz and Flacco and these old guys. Like, they're not Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
No.
They're just a couple notches under your starter, and we have no notches under our starter.
Two things. First of all, regarding Andy Reid's playbook, Crowder, unless you've actually physically seen it, I'm not all too certain that the back end of that playbook are just a bunch of menus to different restaurants. And secondly, what does it say? Because we keep, okay, we default to, as OG says, he has no plan B. I'm willing to accept that on the road against Seattle. The plan B just wasn't there. But Crowder, at some point, over a four-game sample size, okay, you didn't have a plan B, but you figure one out. That's my biggest gripe here. It's not that the team has looked bad. I expected them to look bad.
Plan B might not necessarily be the play calling. The plan B could be not having a backup. Like that, like it might be nothing further than that. That, hey, it doesn't matter if we have Skylar Thompson or Tim Boyle or Tyler Huntley. Doesn't matter. They'll be fine because my offense is fine. And maybe that's the not having the backup.
But Hawk, at a certain point, it didn't work against the Seahawks. You looked awful. You looked like the worst offense in the NFL. Then you had an extra 7 days to prepare, and Mason Rudolph beat you, a backup. And they put up 31
points. Quarterbacks again, right?
Right.
Because Seattle, was Seattle Skyler?
Yes. Yes, it was. And then Tim Boyle. But I realize that. But then you had another full week to do it against New England. And you still looked awful, and you won by a toe, and you had one good drive where Alec Engel just bulldozed everybody. They didn't put anything together that was, you know, you could deem it progress. And then you had a bye week, and then you come back, and this is the product again you're putting on the field? Like, at a certain point, he has to say, okay, this can't work, but I'm going to implement this with a bye week so that at the very least we can move the chains a little bit. And he's been unable to do that week after week, a four-week, four-game
sample size. Don't you think that's because of his quarterback? I do. And they were able to move the ball running yesterday. But I really believe that it stems from having the wrong backup quarterbacks.
It stems from that.
And again, that's a coaching problem, and it's certainly a general manager problem because it's a personnel problem. But you can't tell me that they would look that putrid if Ryan Tannehill was the quarterback. Like they just wouldn't.
I think you're both correct on this, but it's almost to a point like Solana saying, and I'll even go just post bye week, Hawk. Just post bye week. You have 14 days. Now you know what Tim Boyle and Tyler Hunt can do. We have a problem. We have to address it. Let's address the problem that we have at backup, but also let's implement some plays that we know they can be successful at. Let's stop running these damn outside runs, these pitches, and all these hand sweeps. We're not going anywhere. Let's go downhill. Let's do something else. Simple as this. Look at who the hell Indy played and see what plays worked against them in the past couple weeks and put them damn routes in. They couldn't cover them last week. They can't cover them against Tennessee. They might not be able to cover them against us.
But if Huntley or Boyle can't get the ball to those open receivers, then what's the difference? I mean, Aronde said he had Tyreek and Jalen beyond Jonnu Smith open, but he didn't see them or didn't look for them or didn't feel comfortable throwing the ball there, so he kept throwing it to Jonnu Smith.
Harbaugh found a way to get Tyler Huntley to at least look like a formidable backup. I'm not saying he was great with the Ravens, but they won a game. He was a damn Pro Bowler. You know what I'm saying, Hawk? Like, at a certain point, if you're an NBA coach and your entire starting five can shoot three, so your entire offense is dictated upon the three, four out of your five starters get hurt and all your backups can't shoot threes, you're not going to run the same game plan game after game after game. No, you adjust. At a certain point, you have to adjust and say, we can't win games doing this, so I have to implement this. Over 5 weeks, he had an opportunity to do it, and he didn't.
But again, my point is this. What's the adjustment? You have Tyreek Hill out there. Before the season started, number one player in the NFL. That's what he was ranked by, forget which, I think it was ESPN.
The players voted him.
By the players themselves. You have Tyreek Hill. How much stuff do you need to do? Like, how much do you need to reinvent when you've got Tyreek Hill and then you also happen to have Jalen Waddle, who's healthy? Like, I can't help but blame the talent level on the quarterbacks that they've trotted out there. And again, that's not absolving Mike McDaniel of the blame for that. And that's not absolving Chris Greer of the blame for that. They're the ones who keep trotting these guys out.
Huh? You have Tua, you can make Tua Tartar, right? You make the Tua. If now I give you a Boyle, You don't have the two anymore to make the tartar. You might have to adjust to make another meal with that.
But in
that's
other words,
what I'm saying. They're running the same crap. I'm with
but
you.
But in other words,
Tyreek's great.
I have Tyreek Hill.
What you're doing to the person that has the ball. It's a problem that they're there. But now you have that problem. Solve that problem. Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. Jordan Love's an amazing quarterback. Pro Bowl guy. They lose him. Malik Willis. He gets in. They run the ball 42 times the next game. I'm not laughing. I'm not having Malik Willis run the same place Jordan Love.
They don't have Tyreek Hill. They don't have the best receiver or one of the best receivers in the league. Like that, to me, that's folly. To me, that's folly.
If you have somebody that can't get him the ball, why would you keep trying to get him open? If he's open, you even said it.
Because you made a mistake in the guy who needs to get him the ball. It's like,
yes,
the mistake. The mistake is not, we've got a guy who can't get the ball to Tyreek, so let's do something different. The mistake is, why do we have a guy who can't get the ball to Tyreek?
I know, Hawk.
That's the mistake.
At first, that's the mistake. I'm with you.
At first, it was Skyler. They recognized it quickly. So let's go out and let's get Tyler Huntley. And let's bring up Tim Boyle. And then you realize Tim Boyle can't do it either. So we get Tyler Huntley. And then you find out Tyler Huntley can't do it either. Now you're back to Tim Boyle. Like, no. You made mistakes over and over and over again. The same mistake, which is bringing in the wrong backups.
But then doesn't the coach have to be responsible for just finding a way to make the team have an opportunity to win games, Hawk? And yes,
right.
The
way to find that is to find a guy who can get the ball to Tyreek Hill.
You can't make Tua Tartar when you have a crab boil.
But here's what you're saying. We're a restaurant. We have the finest Wagyu steak.
Mm-hmm.
Our chef goes home sick. So we bring in the sous chef to now be the chef. Yeah. And he keeps burning the steak. Well, you know what? Let's stop serving Wagyu, even though we're known for it. Now we serve eggs.
No.
No. Get a chef who can serve the damn Wagyu.
No. You have a Wagyu restaurant that serves Wagyu, and then your next delivery is raccoon meat. You can't make that same Wagyu steak with raccoon meat.
No, but the thing is, you still have Tyreek Hill. He's still out there. He's on the field.
And the guy that's throwing him the ball can't get it to him like Tua can. So why
run this? That's what I'm saying. So let's make eggs instead of Wagyu.
Let's make some eggs. Let's win some games making eggs. Let's keep our customers making eggs. Because if we stick with this Wagyu, this guy's going to burn it.
And that, to me, is folly. You find someone who can cook the Wagyu. You find someone who can get the ball to Tyreek Hill.
And at this venture in the NFL season, there is nobody qualified enough that's as a sous chef to be able to make that Wagyu the same.
Right. Huge problem that Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel caused. That's a huge problem that they caused.
Skylar Thompson being on this team for 3 years, it upsets me now. Everybody told me in camp he's amazing. Is he just good on Wednesdays? You should have looked at him on Sundays.
Yeah, but they had 3 years
Rondé
to develop
says,
the
just
guy.
Make Wagyu strips, stir fry, put it in like, you know, put it into some stuff. You don't just abandon the Wagyu.
Make some raccoon tartar. I like the Tua tartar thing because it's tuna, you know. See what I was getting at?
Well, we got it, yeah.
Okay. You can't make Tua Tartar with, you know, ground beef.
Right. Gotcha.
Boil, crab, boil.
Sure,
boil.
We got it. Yeah, there's a lot of restaurant tie-ins.
Can you eat raccoon meat?
Yes. Tastes like rabbit.
Oh, Robert Kennedy. That guy, Bobby Kennedy, will eat all that stuff.
Raccoon's not bad. Honestly, raccoon's not bad. Opossum is terribly nasty. And armadillo. Armadillo's decent when you fry it.
Why would you eat any of that?
Well, a lot of people. I mean, listen, we didn't all grow up by the falls, Solana. A lot of people eat roadkill. I'm not even joking.
Well, it wasn't roadkill. We actually hunted it. You know, we didn't find it on the side of the road. We hunted.
I mean, how hard is it to hunt a raccoon? They walk around your backyard. I mean, you throw out a couple of strips of garbage.
Raccoon hunting isn't difficult. I'll give you that. Armadillos, if you scream too loud, they ball up in a little ball and hide. So that's pretty easy. And possums are probably the dumbest animal in the world.
I mean, just go to Publix. Get yourself a damn sub. I mean, what? I don't understand.
So you think I was eating armadillo standing next to a pub sub?
This is tough news for the 49ers. Brandon Ayuk, according to Jordan Schultz, insider for Fox Sports, out for the season. They confirmed a torn ACL.
Sean's out for the season.
Yep. Yeah, tore his Achilles.
That was a blessing to the Browns.
It was.
Not their salary cap, but their season. Honestly, it is.
Well, now the insurance covers it. No joke. Because it's an injury. It's a blessing. I mean, it's crazy to say it, but mm-hmm. I don't like him anyway.
Did you guys see the weird mix-up, though, before that even happened? Jameis has been the backup all season long for Cleveland. But this week, Jameis was actually inactive. He was the third emergency quarterback. And I'm forgetting their backup's name, but
guy with the hyphen.
Yeah, man, too many names.
Darrell Thomas Jackson or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Philip Michael Thomas.
I don't think there's a Darrell Thomas or a Jackson in his name, but you did indeed give us three names. And I think earlier this year
car.
We called him Dorian Finney-Smith at one point.
Dorian Thompson Robinson, DTR.
What I said.
So is Jameis, like, can we trade for Jameis then?
Oh,
well, not now. They kind of need him now.
They can have Boyle, Huntley, Skyler, McDaniel, and Greer. All of them. Package deal. And some Tua Tartar.
Give him Eichenberg, too, if we're just selling.
No, give him Julian Hill then.
He just jumped off sides again.
All right, a couple other things happening. By the way, Tua also, just to wrap up the Tua news, he also confirmed that he's not going to wear the Guardian cap. He says it's a personal choice, and Crowder nailed this as of a month ago because he told us he's not going to wear it.
No. Nope.
He'll wear it. By the end of the season, he's going to wear it.
No, he's not. Looks
if
goofy.
You're the coach and you say to him, you cannot run the ball under any circumstance, unless you're wearing the Guardian cap.
No problem. He falls down.
No.
Fetal position.
Mm-mm.
And it makes no sense. It looks too goofy.
The Hurricanes. Some good news, man. That was a fun-ass game. Some frustrating moments. But a fun-ass game.
I was nervous, but it was great.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody who came out to the quarterdeck in Davie. We had a really good turnout and a really good watch party as well. So I appreciate everybody who came out.
And that's the kind of game I love to watch, by the way. You know I love points. Yeah. I don't care if you're giving up points when you're scoring that many points. I mean, I needed to put on a Guardian cap watching the Dolphins game yesterday after having watched the Hurricanes game the day before.
And what's his name? Shannon Dawson. That's the OC, right?
Yeah.
He's calling the game knowing it's a shootout. Because they're getting some third and threes, and he's throwing 60-yard posts. And I'm like, when this
I'll take 50
that?
Burgers over Wagyu any day of the week.
I'm telling you. Yeah. That offense is rolling.
Bro, Cam is just – he's special, man. Hawk, the way he's bouncing around in the pocket, dancing, just like –
casual.
It's crazy, man.
Casual.
Crazy.
And when he takes off, it doesn't like he's moving fast. But then you see him walking away from some DBs, and I was like, Cam, gonna fly a little bit.
He waits and he waits. This Tim Boyle chucked the ball on fourth down. Not that they were going to win this game anyway, but at least, like, you see this happen all the time in the NFL where there's, you know, 38 seconds left, and somehow they end up all the way down the field for a couple plays into the end zone, whether it gets in or not. I mean, I just chucks the ball over. Like, I still am having a tough time. The guy's played in the NFL for a long time. He knows the situation. What am I possibly missing there? Could the throw have been that errant?
Yes. And then to throw it out of bounds, throw it closer to the sideline. You see quarterbacks do this where it's fourth down. There's if I throw an interception, who cares?
It gets picked. I mean, this is the only way we can stay in the game.
So he could have escaped to the right, just looked over, saw where there was a bunch of his receivers, and thrown a punt up in the air.
Yeah.
Thrown a Hail Mary type pass. Somebody come down with it. Help me out. He throws it out of bounds.
To Malik Washington, by the way, I think the new strategy for the Dolphins is have Malik Washington run a route and throw the ball to the other side of the field every single time. You should never throw the ball to Malik Washington.
Put Tyreek Hill in a Malik Washington jersey. And then maybe someone will look at him. If you're Tim Boyle, you've had no success in the NFL, wouldn't you think to yourself, you know what? I can make a name for myself here. I just got to get the ball to Tyreek. No matter how many people are on him, maybe we'll get a pass interference. Who knows? Like, I got to know, because I'm Tim Boyle. I got to know where Tyreek is on the field during this play, because I got to send the ball his way.
Yep.
If anyone's going to help me, Tim Boyle, with a miracle comeback, it might be Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Probably not going to be Malik Washington. It's probably not going to be my legs. Like, it's probably, out of all the people on the field, the guy who's going to help me cement my name in, you know, Dolphins history is probably Tyreek Hill. Yes. So I either got to get it to him, or I'm going to zing the ball over Malik Washington's head and hit a lady in the stands.
You remember that playoff game when Henny got in for Kansas City?
Yeah.
I think he completed 8 passes. 7 of them were to Travis
bink,
Kelce.
Bink, 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 bink.
It was Kelce.
Like,
Kelce.
Know who can help you.
What? Yeah. No, I'm going to trick him and go to Washington this play. I'm with you. It's ridiculous. That was a ridiculous game. That was upsetting.
Did you see? I read Malik Washington's lips when the ball was coming to him. Me? Couldn't believe it.
You know what? I know you're joking, but Malik couldn't have lined up on 4th and 3 and said, he's going to me.
I guarantee you, whoever was on Malik said, well, we know it's not coming to our side.
He didn't even look. Malik was just running down the sideline. He didn't look
back. Well, look, I mean, he didn't have a better chance to see any clips than find that ball.
And for all the people texting in to look up Tim Boyle's stats at UConn, where he played 3 years. Yeah, OG sent us this yesterday. I checked it out. 1 touchdown, 13 interceptions over 3 years at UConn.
We read it at the beginning of the show because Joe Shad had tweeted out something last night that had even greater stats. Because what I was saying at the beginning of the show was, Tim Boyle has shown you who he is. This isn't on him. He's shown you who he is. That's on Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel for saying that's our guy. Tim Boyle has shown you over and over again who he is. In the NFL, he's 0-5. He's thrown 4 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. He has a passer rating of 56. At UConn, 1 touchdown, 13 interceptions. At Eastern Kentucky, 11 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Like, he's shown you who he is.
I'm taking Cleo Lemon.
This Tim Boyle is unbelievable. How's he getting jobs still, right? I mean,
it's really crazy. It's crazy.
I can tell you the answer, even though I have no research behind it, but I know these type guys. He's super smart.
Super nice. Knows the play. Can pick up the playbook like that.
Yep. married, a bunch of kids, no trouble, no problem, helps out the team, gets there at 5 a.m. when meetings start at 7. He's sitting in meeting rooms drinking chai lattes. I've played with guys like this. I know exactly who he is.
Let's have a killer LinkedIn page, brother, because, oh, my God.
He drives a Wagoneer. I know him.
Jeep Grand Cherokee.
I know
him. But, again, that's on Greer and McDaniel. You know what I mean? Like, that's not – like, Tim Boyle – he didn't have a breakout season, and then people got fooled. Remember that guy, what was it, Flynn?
Yeah, Matt Flynn.
Yeah.
Seattle, yeah.
You know, like, no, Tim Boyle, like, you know exactly what you're getting. You know exactly what you're getting.
Tim Boyle has been Tim Boyle his whole life.
Tim Boyle will Tim Boyle from now till whenever. God bless him that he's been able to put a career together doing it. But Tim Boyle, in that situation yesterday, did exactly what Tim Boyle does. Launch the ball over Malik Washington's head.
To be fair, the last time he tried to throw up a ball, Javon Holland returned it for 6 on Black Friday last year.
That's right.
There's 2 games tonight. Monday Night Football. Tampa Bay is a 4.5-point home dog facing the Baltimore Ravens. And Arizona is a 1-point dog at home against the LA Chargers. The first game begins at 8. Second game begins at 9. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Nice day outside in South Florida. That is your weather.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no!
Hawk and Crowder.
So if we do a quick 15 minutes of game day uncensored, which is brought to you by the Lexus RX, the luxury SUV, for those who never want to lose their edge, experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. What would you give letter grade-wise, Crowder, to Miami Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel? I'll start there. Letter grade for yesterday.
Just yesterday, F, honestly.
F.
Yeah, that was a failure. After two weeks, 14 days of preparation, that's the best thing you can roll out there. That was a failed head coach performance.
If you watch them next Sunday and the offense is humming and they put up 30, 35 points, will you then just say, you know what, McDaniel is really good at calling an offense if he's got a decent quarterback to run it?
Huck, I've actually referenced you. I don't like to tell you this because you already are very confident. I've referenced what you said, where after this, Tua is the fuel that runs this engine. McDaniel is okay. Tua is the fuel that runs this engine. So I would say it makes it easier for him to do his job with a top-rated quarterback. But no, Tua's better at quarterback than McDaniel is at head coaching, hands down, guaranteed.
USA Today gave coaching a B- for the Dolphins yesterday. Considering Miami's injury misfortunes, Coach Mike McDaniel couldn't have done much more. Huntley couldn't have done much in the short time he was in the game, but that's more attributed to Huntley's time spent in the offense or lack of fit with the team. McDaniel could have adapted more to Huntley's style, but that would have required more changes to the offense, which could have had a worse effect. After Huntley left the game, Boyle also didn't look great, but the running game looked good. The loss showed more about how to overcome potential future quarterback absences more than anything else. McDaniel's biggest call of the game came when he opted to send Sanders out for the field goal attempt, which he missed in the fourth quarter on a 4th-and-1 situation on the 36-yard line. It's hard to blame him for trying to tie the game when points were scarce, but facing a 1-yard situation, he could have taken advantage of decent field position Miami rarely saw on Sunday. Now, I don't have a problem. I'm with you. I'd give the head coaching an F just because you can't go out there and do that. You just can't do that. Like,
no.
That's got to start somewhere. But I will say, I didn't mind going for the field goal there. 36-yard field goal, Jason Sanders indoors. It's a dome. That's a gimme. Like that. Yeah. That's one of the biggest gimmies you'll ever get. He's got to make that kick, period, end of story. Now you've got a tie game. All you need to do is muster up, if your defense can still continue to hold them, all you've got to do is muster up a field goal to win the game. Like, you're in it. So I thought McDaniel made the right decision because they get a yard. They're still 30 yards away from getting a touchdown. I don't know if you watched the game yesterday. It might as well have been 130 yards away from getting a touchdown.
And now I think now it's – and it's swung. Hell, it's swung since I've retired, where – the Dan Campbells and all these people just go for fourth downs all the time. Go for fourth down. Go for fourth down. The next-gen stats says there's a 54% chance better of a next-gen nothing. In a game that's 10 to 13, get some points. Get some points. Like,
just get some points.
It's not 45-42. You know, Anthony Richardson's not marching anybody anywhere. So get points on the board and see what happens. Like, no,
and it's not a 56-yarder, you know, where Jason Sanders, you go, oh, my God. Like, this was a field goal makeable for anyone who kicks field goals in the NFL.
It was a 53-yarder or a 54-yarder.
It was 53?
Yeah, the ball was around the 36 or 38. No, it was a 54 or 53-yarder.
I watched
48 or 49.
But I watched good kickers hit 60s consistently now.
Oh, that's still in a dome nowadays. If it's 50, 52, 53, like, that's a gimme nowadays. It is. In a dome, like, you have to make that.
Y'all combined for 20 points in four quarters. There's not going to be a lot of scoring left in this game. Get some points on the board. But just the third down efficiencies, just having those plays. Having those plays where you can go get a – I'm not talking about the fourth one. I'm talking about on some of them third and two, third and threes. You don't have anything. You don't have some kind of route, those pick routes. I watched it all yesterday. The two receivers run past each other. One DB gets flustered by going over top, and they have an easy touchdown. I watched it 16, 20 times yesterday on getting – you're not going to get 80 yards on the play. You're going to get six. Go get six. The little zone left where the tight end sneaks out. The backside, they throw it to him, and then he gets dumped on his head by a safety. You got 4 yards. Those kind of plays are what McDaniel, I don't know if he's good at those. Just get you 4 or 5 yards. He wasn't doing that yesterday on some very, very simple conversion attempts.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no!
Hawk and Crowder.